the average marketing person is going to increase their influencer and creator marketing budgets by 25% this year. On top of that, we see a lot of creators continuing to grow. So I'm really excited about this. I'm excited about the direction that we're going in.
Hey, Jackie, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great. It's great to be here. So I'm on maternity leave, so excited to spend time with you today.
Well, thank you then for joining me, even in that situation there. So I appreciate it a lot. I'm very excited about this episode because, and you're going to tell us a bit more about, you have a lot of experience, with Meta, many years there. We've been most probably see all the different things that changed. And so I'm very curious about that. But first of all, usually what we do is that we introduce, of course, the guest. And we use this thing called the map to map out, of course, person. And it's divided in, mission, achievements, and purpose. So, the mission and purpose, some people, they mix it together, because the mission is the what do you do, right? In terms of what do you want to achieve? And the purpose is the why. So, again, after you can mix them together or simply split them if you want. And the achievements is any notable milestone and can be career-wise or also on your personal life. Anything that you want to share with us.
I love that. This is such a fun way to introduce people. Well, my mission, especially right now, is just to give more and more creators a platform to grow and connect with their audience and with each other. And for the last 14 years at Meta, almost 15 years, my mission has been to do that for also businesses. So I would say my personal mission is just to give businesses and creators more and more opportunities to grow. And I think you also asked my achievements. Well, when I started at Meta, it was against the advice of my father. So I would say that was a big achievement, is going against parental advice. I'm happy that I trusted my own instincts. And that was back in 2010. I actually started at PricewaterhouseCoopers. But my passion was, I just saw a changing media landscape and also this move to digital and a global economy. And I saw things changing very rapidly around me, like the emergence in the Silicon Valley of Ubers, and my friends were going to Twitter, and I just was spending so much time on Facebook. I'm like, there's something here. And so I'm glad that I took the leap. And when I joined in the early days, I spent most of my days reviewing ads and answering advertiser questions all day long. And finally, I complained enough to our product team that they were like, can you please just come tell us what to build? And so I did. And spent the next over 10 years building pretty much every major ad product we still have today. Some of the big ones being our interfaces, ads reporting tool, ad objective-based buying, which was new in the industry, and video ads. We, in the early days, I remember working on video ads with Fiji CMO, and we were trying to convince retailers to make video ads instead of photo ads. And they were like, why? And now it's video ads everywhere. And then from there, worked during COVID back in small business, helping small businesses further digitize during COVID. And that was a really important part of that I felt so much purpose in that work of helping keep these brick and mortar small businesses alive. And then from there, the last couple of years, been working with creators. And that's been, saw a lot of overlap between small business and creators, and have really loved building tools and working with creators to on Instagram, Facebook, and also now actually on WhatsApp too. So it's been a really fun journey. And I think that leads me to my purpose, which overall is economic empowerment. I grew up actually with working parents that didn't have a lot of time to spend with us. And I really love the flexibility that I'm hoping that platforms like Meta and other platforms can give to people to have more flexibility so that they can spend more time with their loved ones or on other passions. But that's my purpose in life.
Thank you for this overview. It makes sense. We mentioned, before, basically 14 years, almost 15 at Meta, you talk, I guess, with so many small businesses and now a lot of creators. How things changed on the perspective? You said already, for instance, hey, make videos a few years ago. For them was like, why? And now, of course, everyone is doing that. What has changed in the past years that either you expected, but maybe it was faster than expected, or something that shocked you? Or I'm just trying to understand, in all these many years, if you notice any patterns when it comes to small business in terms of their rules.
By the way, it was called thefacebook.com when I started. That's how long ago it was. It's changed a lot. So back then, it was mostly an insertion order business. So even the concept of small businesses leveraging platforms in a major way was not the norm. Most of, and we were not alone in that, most of advertising and media was still insertion order, still, it was very hard for a smaller business or smaller enterprise. The change that I saw is small businesses were leaning into the platform. And then you also saw like things like Shopify arise, which then all of a sudden gave these small businesses an ability to go direct to consumer. And we were a channel that allowed them to grow their audience base, reach new customers, and engage with existing ones. So saw a huge shift in this search to self-service, smaller enterprising popping up, and a huge economy of experts who were, you know, no one else, people were just learning on the job, right? We said we had this whole ethos and still exists of you have to test to learn what works because everything's changing so rapidly. And I think honestly, a lot of the big brands learn from small businesses and they still do. You know, they still learn from small businesses. I even see it when I was actually recently on TikTok and they said, you know, make TikTok not ads. That was the exact same messaging we had, you know, 15 years ago and still do of native advertising. And small businesses, I felt like just got it really quickly. They kind of understood how to talk to their audiences and they weren't afraid to be really authentic.
I read one of your posts on LinkedIn where you said about, you know, the tech era, right? That because of mobile, everyone is able to, the barrier is very low, right? So I can see why these days with APIs, there are so many different tools that it's more easier than ever to access, right? For anyone, even on a small budget, right? Because everyone nowadays, like with $50, can basically start on it. So I feel I also saw this news about that, you know, Meta got like, you know, now it's like 2 billion reels share per day. You know, crazy number, just thinking about
it. I mean, the numbers are insane. Yeah, numbers are insane. 2 billion shares a day of reels, yes.
I know that it's difficult to say what content works because it depends. Vertical, location, yada, 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 of course. But anything from like in the past years to now, is there anything that, you know, we already just said like, you know, don't make like no ads, of course, you know, but is there anything else that you'll notice, especially for small businesses that works well when they create things like reels?
If you look at actually the content of creators, a lot of it is in partnership. Well, a lot of it's in partnership with businesses, but a lot of it, businesses and small and creators, blend, we actually sometimes have a hard time classifying them because it's like a business can bleed into being a creator and vice versa at any given moment. And we see some of the best businesses do that. I had a friend, she was working at Meta and she started a company called Birdies and they do like shoes. And a lot of their content is what we would have called UGC, user generated content, and then creator content. So it's content from their community. And that stuff has resonated for years and years on Meta. I think some of the changes and the preferences are that have changed is, first of all, Reels offers up an ability to be in kind of recommended content areas. So to reach new audiences you wouldn't have reached before. So in that way, when you're in front of someone that doesn't know anything about your brand or your business, being able to tell a story really quickly or just using creative elements to do that is really important. And what we're seeing is you don't have to make fancy, very curated videos. It's all the things that resonate are things that I don't want to say they're not high fidelity because a lot of people put work into them. But you know they feel natural, they feel native, they feel like they're part of the ecosystem. And I think I've seen a big shift away from the very filtered, very manicured, and also kind of boring content. People want personality too. Like they want the brand, they want personality. And I think businesses that lean into that. I actually saw a trucking company on Instagram, trucking. Okay. And they highlight their drivers in their content to build out their business, which is just so interesting, right? It's a trucking company, but they're using their drivers to build their personality and their brand. And you know, I'd love to hear. I know you were really into Vine. You've been early on TikTok. You've obviously been in Reels. Like, what have you seen as kind of also any kind of changes in the kind of content preferences that you're seeing resonate with the brands you work with?
I like this concept that you said of the behind the scene of a company because we're noticing that more and more, not just like Gen Z, because everyone is like, Gen Z wants this, yes, but also like millennials and also other generations, they want to see what is behind, right? The brand image is not that just at EC's, like, you know, the sedimentation of the brand for, let's say, 200 years, but it's what is behind that? Why are people working there? What are the values of the company, right? Because nowadays, just so many companies to choose from that if you want to choose, it's not just going to be about the product, but also what type of, like, you know, how do they produce these things? So where is it sustainable? There are so many things. And if you are able to show that in a video, right, you are going to connect on a different level. And that's how you're going to get the retention, right, of these people and buy more. And
I couldn't agree more, 100%. And like, you think about it, at any given moment, the amount of people who are exactly in market and ready to buy is very small. So you're constantly having to brand build 99% of the time. And yeah, I totally agree. The behind the scenes, I think, is really rising. And I love the behind the scenes.
And especially, like, you know, even sometimes in, like, you know, live streaming, I noticed like so many jobs that are, I don't say considered like boring, but, you know, definitely something that might not be exciting as, you know, being an NBA player, right? But you can see, like, you know, again, the efforts. For instance, I think about all the time, like, small creators or, like, you know, small businesses that show either during live streaming or, like, in a reel, how they make a certain thing. So also, let's say, you know, many times there is the comment, like, oh, why so expensive? And, you know, like, let me show you, it's handmade, you know, like, it's a small business. And so all these videos, I think that they help. And also, like, when it's in, like, the live streaming, because you can chat in real time and have these conversations.
Is your brand ready to amplify its reach? Well, the Influencer Marketing Factory is here for you. We are a global influencer marketing agency helping brands ignite their growth. From influencer identification to campaign strategy, handling legalities and agreements, to managing shipping and logistics, we got you all covered. We work with hundreds of brands across different verticals, from Fortune 500 companies to direct-to-consumer brands. And we don't just stop there. With detailed ROI analysis, we help brands like yours measure success transforming impressions into conversions. You can find us at theinfluencermarketingfactory.com or just searching The Influencer Marketing Factory on Google.
You know, that I wanted to ask you, since you said, you know, talking with small businesses and small creators and so on, how also Meta is supporting them, right?
After people watch, you know, well-created content from small businesses and creator content, over 70% buy within a few days. And a lot of small businesses and creators, especially nano creators, which I'm really passionate about, they need first-party tools. So we did a huge camera overhaul on Instagram last year, and it was the biggest overhaul we've done in like 10 years to increase the stability of camera, editing features, new filters. There's some new AI capabilities in there now too, with backdrop and things in there that are really interesting to check out. And you can use that in stories. It's really fun. So there's some new editing features there. We have Pro Mode on Facebook, which is growing really fast. And that's being leveraged by some small businesses and creators and really helping to increase the growth of those creators and small businesses. Creator Marketplace, we're in this middle of this large global expansion. We've added 8 new markets. We have one of the biggest bases of creators and businesses in the world. And so the idea that we can help with matching, I think, is a really important place that we can help creators of all sizes and businesses of all sizes find people. And one of the things I'm excited too is we're adding in AI capabilities to help with matching so that a business could say, here are my goals. Help me find creators that can help me with those goals. And I think that'll be really an exciting thing, similar to when we launched objective-based buying. The other growing solution is partnership ads. And sometimes it's hard to keep track of all the different, you know, bells and tools and whistles, but partnership ads continues to expand in more objectives. So we just launched it to also like click to message, which is a really powerful objective. And what we see with partnership ads is when a small business adds it to their business as usual campaign, it increases performance like 20 to 30%.
I really like the one that you said, the click to message, because I think that still many people forget that a lot of conversation still happens via DM. They are like not public. Like whenever I read like all the different studies, like especially new generation are posting less. Sometimes they exchange all the things by DM. And so I think that is an interesting one, because the typical journey is like send someone to a landing page, you know, but on the landing page, you can find some information, but you cannot ask questions, right? And
mm-hmm.
people have questions, right, about a product. So I like the idea of the click-to-message, so you
actually maybe can answer all those questions and bring the person to purchase. While you said if they have a purchase mindset, but they don't have their questions answered, that they might go away, right?
So I mean, the message is really powerful. I mean, I worked, you know, I feel like an old person saying this right now, but you know, I did work on Messenger for a while and built out that product marketing team. And in doing that work, it was amazing to see, to your point, like how much an actual message conversation can drive purchases, especially even on retail where you're like, oh, well, let's just click and check out. A lot of people want to know, do you have this in this size? Do you have it in a different color? And then especially in things that are longer purchase cycles or where you can customize things, click to message is a great objective. Yeah.
And, you know, talking about messaging and text, I'm very curious also about, you know, threads, right? Because we went before, we said, you know, from photo, then a lot of videos. We just mentioned quickly about, you know, live streaming, reels and so on. But of course, like, you know, text is still something that can tell a lot, right? So I'm curious, like, how brands and creators are using threads these days, first of all, and then also if there are any untapped, you know, marketing opportunities for small businesses. Could be like maybe some case studies that you like that you saw recently.
Well, a little story. I did start working on threads when I was like 7 months pregnant. And I had to be like, okay, I can only work on that. You know, I felt like I was having two babies. You know, I had threads and then I had my actual baby. Uh-huh. We ended up launching the product when I was on maternity leave the first time. And it did feel like having a second baby. I was so proud of the team. I was so proud of the launch. And I think a lot of the launch went so well because of just amazing collaboration amongst all of our teams and the creators and the partners we worked with early on. The thing about threads is we're now at over 130 monthly million active users, which is great. And a growing community. Some of the trends that we're seeing are just the emergence of these topical communities. So things like basketball, photography, fashion, which is not new, but they're emerging in a way that is, photography, actually, the aspect ratio, and if photographers are loving to actually upload photos into thread. So it's not just text, but we are seeing a lot of text-based or conversational-based interaction, which is a different, it just feels like a lot of, even our Instagram or Facebook creators are finding a new audience on threads. They're seeing a new audience emerge and a new interaction model because people want to engage and converse. And so subject matter experts, like we have our mayor of NBA threads. Then we also have one of my favorite fashion threads creators is Very Harry Hill. And they're fashion, but they're also funny. So I think the personalities are kind of emerging. You even see that with Zuck. Zuck is on threads. And you can really, he's having a lot of fun with it. And so people are having a lot of fun with threads.
And are you seeing like anything in terms of how to format content there? Because like, you know, with photos, of course, like, you know, there are certain tools that you can use to make it in a certain way. Sometimes it's better to have a raw photo of you, no lighting, whatever, because it works well. With Reels is the same. You can like, you know, edit inside the app and add audio and everything. So people are familiar with that. But when it comes again to threads, right, that is like primarily on the text there. Have you noticed anything that works better than
Yes. I think, you know, emojis, the text itself, trying to be topical of the time, like using timeliness, so current events. And then we actually have a desktop version of threads, which is especially if you're a business and you're, let's say you're posting a lot on LinkedIn or other places as well, using the desktop features I think are really helpful because you could do that all from desktop. Within the app though, it's very simple by design. It's also great for like posting on the go, you know, especially small businesses. Like what if you're like a founder, Threads is a great place to grow your brand for your business and yourself. And I think posting a lot of sharing articles we're seeing. So sharing news, sharing other people's threads with your own take. And like resharing, those are all really powerful things that I think are really helping with founders and brands building together on threads.
I see especially, you know, more creators doing the building in public. So maybe they reshare their journey. I think that is very important because it just remove this stigma and these myths about that everything is easy, right? Because you only see the successful story that of course they are there, but you don't see all the ups and downs, all the struggles, you know. I think that places like these threads and like stories and so on, it's a nice way to say, today I'm writing about this because it's happening now and you can follow this journey with me. So you said that on threads, like, you know, still not considered on that. So I'm curious, on Instagram and Facebook, so that we can just like talk about either numbers of or like, you know, ideas for anyone else today there that is listening, right? And be like, I want to crack the code somehow and I want really to find a great way either on Instagram or Facebook to make it and get my like small business to the next level. Any case studies that you can share with us and why they were successful for you?
The first case study I always like to cite is my husband's own company, Chubby's. They were a shorts company and started early on. Over 14 years, there's been a lot of businesses. Like I already mentioned Birdies. There's another one, Topicals. They are a skincare company and they are growing on Instagram right now. And they last year, they worked with creators, about 18 nano creators. So a small group. And they grew their audience by about 5,000, but they got 3 million impressions by working with these creators. And they're setting them, what I love about Topicals is they're differentiating their skincare brand. And they're using these creators to do it. And I just love these brands that are able to go into a market where you're like, how would you like, or like, yeah, Chubby Shorts, like, how would you differentiate yourself? Or Birdies is slippers. Mm-hmm. And it's, those are the case studies I love of these brands that are small businesses that are able to create brand value on the platform using their community. They're developing a community. There was another one, Carlton Dry out of Australia. They're a beer brand, a pretty large actually beer brand. And they used creators to infuse life, you know, a lot like a, kind of going into a younger demographic, a younger audience. So they used creators. And they did reels, and the creators did really fun reels. So they gave the creators a lot of leeway creatively, and it made the brand have a lot of personality, and young people loved it. So they saw over 5-point increase in brand affinity by doing that. And so I'm loving these brands that are taking chances. They're being more authentic. They're using reels to reach new audiences. Cause like I said, reels is, you can use reels and ads to reach new audiences. Stories to engage your existing audience. And I think those are some of the case studies that I've really loved of, you know, anything from trucking to beer to retail. It's like just going in a direction where you are being really authentic, having fun with your brand.
No, I like when you say about the, not just the authenticity, but also trusting the creator, because many times I notice that other brands want to dictate the almost a script. And people are not dumb, like they can see and they carry through, right? And be like, oh, this is very scripted. And it's not in with the style of the influencer. And then the engagement rate of that post will kind of flop because of course they recognize that it's not like, you know, authentic, it's not their style. So thank you for sharing that, you know, you should trust wherever possible, right? Because they know what their audience wants.
Well, yeah, like an e-marketer report just came out actually this week. And it said, it talked about how engagement rates with nano creators, like 10,000, 100,000 following on Instagram, they're much higher than other kinds of creators. And creators are all sizes fit a purpose. But I think what you see there is the I think my hypothesis and what I see is that the content of those creators tends to be very real. And people who follow those creators tend to engage a lot because they feel a strong connection to those creators. And so if you're a business working with those creators, you should let those creators really guide the creative.
Totally. And also think that when it comes to nano, like the comments that you usually find might be a bit less, but they are so insightful.
So important.
Right? Yeah. Because people like, because you, what I say all the time, basically it's like a real-time focus group that you can analyze, and they're so into their like community of people there that reading the comments, you can understand 100% the direction where to go, right? So it's not just about the content, it's about everything else. Is there anything else that I didn't ask you today or something that you are either excited or working on, something that you wanted just to highlight before we wrap up on the episode?
It's been an interesting year in the creator economy, I will say. It's been an interesting couple of years. But I think there's some, you know, stats that came out that the average marketing person is going to increase their influencer and creator marketing budgets by 25% this year. And on top of that, we see a lot of creators continuing to grow, especially these emerging creators. And I'm really excited about this. I'm excited about the direction that we're going in. I'm excited about Meta's role in this. We see, you know, 85% of people say that they follow a creator on Meta platforms. And that's, we play a really important role. That's
amazing, Jackie. Thank you so much. Congratulations on everything that you built in these years. I'm pretty sure that you saw like a lot of things happening. And I can only just imagine how much to learn talking with, again, small businesses and creators, getting all this feedback, because at the end of the day, like it's them basically, like, yeah.
With
the market, you know?
Yeah, have me on again and I'll tell you more Meta stories anytime, so.
We'll love to. Jackie, thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing all your knowledge with us.
Thank you.
This was the Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory, and I'll see you next week.